This is Trent Brands, the host of the Rich Agent, Poor Agent podcast, the show that exposes poor agent beliefs and discusses rich agent mindsets. Let's go. So on this episode, we're going to be doing part two of being a brand new agent, what you need to do. On part one, we discussed how as a new agent, you need to take advantage of your sphere of influence, how you need to have courage, not money, and also how you need to use your social media to help build your business. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking about two different subjects, having a schedule and bringing value. So if you're new to the podcast, the way I usually break down subjects is by explaining them as poor agent beliefs and rich agent mindsets. Okay, so what is a poor agent? A poor agent is an average or below average agent. When I talk about poor, I don't just mean that they're financially unwealthy. I mean that their quality of life is not where it could be because they have limiting beliefs that are holding them back. The sad part is, this is the majority of real estate agents. In our industry, on average, 20% of agents do 80% of the business, meaning that a very few are doing the majority of work. And that 80% that's left have to pick up through the scraps and are left to hang on to every deal. The rich agent is up in that 20%. They have mindsets that are usually counter to the majority of agents. And because of these mindsets, they take the majority of the available business. Because of this, they do not have to cling on to every deal. They know that there's so much business available to them that if they lose a couple deals here and there, they'll still be okay. So today's episode is going to be about having a schedule and bringing value. Okay, so having a schedule and a planner, to be more specific. So the poor agent belief sounds something like this. I know what I need to do daily, so I don't need a plan or a planner. That'd be something a poor agent would say. Rich agent mindset goes something like this. Having a set schedule, using a planner, helps with time management, productivity, and even provides stress relief. Because of this belief, the poor agent's average workday, and this is the mediocre, par, or subpar real estate agent, goes something like this. They will wake up, maybe at a consistently early time, maybe not. They might have a set morning routine, maybe they don't. They have a general idea of what they're going to do and when they'll do it. They get to the office, work on and off on tasks, often interrupted by unrelated texts and emails, will engage in water cooler talk or just general BS in the office with the other agents. This includes gossip, bitching about bad deals, and general nonsense. Problems usually with no solutions. The only thing really on their schedule is at 5 p.m. they'll definitely be out of the office. They may even have more to do, but they just say to themselves, oh, I'll do that later tonight, or maybe even do it tomorrow. The poor agent results end up being that they're stressed out about four or five deals at a time, sometimes more, sometimes less, but they have a caseload that they can take, and that's it. This results in stagnant sales numbers, not very much growth, if any, and usually they're very stressed out. So the rich agent mindset is that having a set schedule, time blocking, and using a planner helps with time management, productivity, and even helps to relieve stress. Ben Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Ben Franklin was also an entrepreneur. He was a small business owner. He owned the Pennsylvania Gazette newspaper. And I believe that there was probably many days that Ben Franklin woke up and wrote out his whole plan for the day. As a new real estate agent, you need to set up your weekly schedule and your daily schedule. On Sundays, I usually sit down and write down all the tasks that I want to get done this week. Then I look at my schedule for the following week and decide which days I'm going to do each one of these tasks. For example, on Monday, I might have a training webinar that I've signed up for that I need to attend. On Tuesday, I might want to practice writing a contract. On Wednesday, I've written down that I'm going to do a Facebook Live. On Thursday, I need to send out my weekly email. By sitting down prior to the week starting and mapping out your week, you make sure that you get all these tasks done and don't forget about anything. A study from Dominican University shows that those who wrote goals and tasks were 33% more likely to achieve them. So rich agents will have a set regimen in the morning that they do every workday. The rich agent will review their tasks for the day, and they envision how they'll get them done. They write them in a daily planner, they time block segmented times for each task, and they don't let distractions, i.e. emails, texts, phone calls, social media, disturb them while doing that task. So here's an example of a rich agent's morning schedule. 5 a.m., wake up, check emails, send out emails, write in daily planner what I have to do today. 6 a.m., work out. 7 a.m., eat breakfast, read the daily news, post something on social media. 8, at the office. 8:10, sales meeting. 8:30, begin prospecting. Rich agents tend to do the same thing every morning of every workday. By doing this over and over again, rich agents build the habits of high producers. The rich agent also segments out time, also known as time blocking, for important tasks. So they use a planner to do this. In the morning, they'll write down their whole to-do list for the day, and then they plan it out accordingly. They time block for the most important tasks to knock them out as quickly as possible. For most agents, the most important task that they'll be doing throughout the day is prospecting. This includes phone calls or answering online leads or emails, something of that nature. They usually time block a certain segment of time. I do this from 9 a.m. to noon, and make sure that they block out any other noise that might happen while they're trying to get this task done. When a rich agent time blocks something, they do not allow anything else to come into the picture while they're working on this task. For example, you shut the door to your office, put a sign on the door that says, "I'm in a meeting, do not disturb," and make sure that no one gets you off task from what you were going to do. It's very easy, especially in real estate, to get caught up in things that are going on throughout the day. You're going to receive upsetting emails, texts, phone calls, and voicemails that could take you off task. So the best thing to do is when you're doing this, act like you're on an appointment where you wouldn't pick up your phone. Act like you're in a meeting with a client that you would not pick up your phone if it was ringing. You wouldn't do that to your client, so don't do it to yourself. Rich agents know that by planning out their day and knocking out tasks according to importance, they will relieve the stress that other agents feel. Other agents feel that stress because they get caught up in the BS of the day, and then they don't get done what they needed to get done that day. They end up having huge to-do lists at the end of the week, and they wonder why nothing got done, even though they seem like they're busy and really stressed out. So the daily planner is not just for in the morning. At nighttime, it is essential that you check that planner again to see what you did right, the successes, and what you didn't do, which is going to be on your to-do list for tomorrow. So to recap, the poor agent will tell you that they don't need a planner because they know what they're going to do with their day. The rich agent, because they know how things work, will have a set schedule that helps them with time management, productivity, and helps relieve their stress. Just so you guys know, I use Grant Cardone's 10X planner. Been using his planner for 2 or 3 years now. It's a great one, especially for somebody that's just getting started on using a planner. It has everything laid out for you. It tells you where to write certain things. So I would suggest at least checking out his planner online so you can kind of see how it's set up. If you do want to purchase it, go ahead and purchase it. Sometimes they run deals on them too, where you can buy like a pack of 3 or 4 at a time for a discounted rate. But yeah, I love them. They also don't have dates written in the top of them. So if you ever have a day or two where you don't write in the planner, say you take a day off, then you can just write whatever date you want in the top and it doesn't mess up your whole planner because you have blank days. So I really like that planner. Also, talking about scheduling and not being stressed out, another thing that I've noticed when it comes to schedules is with poor agents will allow emails to not just disrupt them during the day, but also once the day ends. I learned this probably 3 or 4 years into the business. After about 6 or 7 o'clock, probably about 6:30 to be exact, I just turn my email notifications off. I don't want to see that at nighttime. And at night, you're not going to be able to do anything about it anyway. Something with appraisal or, you know, something along those lines, it's not going to get figured out at night. Banking hours are, you know, 9 to 5. And that's a lot of our business is based off of banking hours. So I just try not to stress yourself out at night by having all your email notifications on. Like I said, I turn them off. Also on that note, if it is a huge problem, they'll probably give you a call. And I am one of those people that I will pick up my phone if it's something that has to do with a listing or a buyer or whatever. If it's a question or whatever, I will pick up for that. But I just won't get stressed out over emails at night, because if they sent me an email over something that most likely is not of that great importance, I don't even want to see it till the morning because I don't want to be thinking about it at night. Also, a funny story about planning and not getting off task. There was an agent when I first got into the business. I was probably 3 months into the business. I was at a company that I will not name on here because I don't want to disparage any companies, but the office setting was almost like a retirement home. I was by far the youngest person, maybe even half the age of the average age in the office. I was 25 at the time. I would guess the average age in the office was above 50 easily. Everybody was super old there. Anyway, they had me, this is again, shows you how old mentality this is. They had me working the phones, which meant that at reception, whenever somebody would call into this office, they needed to have somebody sitting there. So they'd tell their agents that they had to work the phones, which meant you just had to sit by a phone, which is literally the most asinine thing ever, because throughout the day, they got about 4 phone calls. I always just thought, why don't they forward this to someone's cell phone? But anyway, I was sitting there working the phones with this older realtor named Bonnie. Bonnie was probably about the age of my grandmother. And I was in Ohio at the time. And her claim to fame was she said she was great at listing farms and properties that specialized in like horse breeding, stuff like that. Kind of a weird thing, but I guess if you could sell a lot of homes doing that, maybe not that weird. But anyway, she would always have the horse t-shirts, whereas like screen printed shirts with horses on them. She'd wear a cowboy hat and stuff like that. She thought she was real cool, I guess. Anyway, we were sitting there working the phones, and she started telling me about how she was dead in the water. She had no clients, nothing going on, and blah, 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 you know, just kind of complaining about her day and complaining about business and everything else. And, you know, I was still a young guy trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do. And so anyway, she said it to me a couple times, dead in the water, you know, I'm dead in the water, I'm dead in the water. And so I saw her about a week later. She's sitting in the office and she was setting up a listing. So she had gotten a listing. And I saw her on the computer, the office, the old office computer, sitting there doing her listing. And the old office computer was right near the coffee machine. So whenever somebody was working on the office computer, if you didn't go into your own office, you're sitting there, you're probably going to get distracted because people kept walking into the same room where this computer was getting their coffee or whatever, and they'd just be BSing with you. So I walk in there. It's probably like 9 or 10 in the morning. She's sitting there at the computer. And besides her, I was probably the next person in or the third person in. So I say hi to Bonnie for a second and she starts talking about, oh, I got this new listing, blah, blah, blah. I say, oh, good for you. You know, I'm going to go take one of the offices and sit in there and, you know, try to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with my business. And so, I go into the office and I don't see Bonnie again for a couple hours. And then I come down probably to get a cup of coffee or a snack or something. And Bonnie's sitting there talking to somebody. And I can see the listing page where she started to input this listing. I can tell she's about a third of the way done. She wasn't quite there. And she's sitting there talking to these people. Again, this is a couple hours later. A listing should only take you like 30 minutes to do, to put it into the system. And she's sitting there talking to somebody about something. And I just kind of chuckled to myself thinking, oh my God, this is going to take her all day because she can't work without talking to people. So I walk back up to the office and get back to doing whatever I was doing that day. And I think probably 4 or 4:30 rolled around. Again, I was a young agent then, so I didn't stay after hours because I didn't know what the hell I was doing anyway. And I walk downstairs and she's talking to somebody else. I could tell she's a little bit further on the listing, but still wasn't done. And she's talking to them, funny enough, about horse stalls. About there's different size horse stalls, I guess, and her new listing has wider horse stalls and blah, blah, blah. So I leave the office, and I don't see Bonnie again for probably another week or two. And then I run into old Bonnie. She's got her cowboy hat on, and I said to her, hey, did you sell that property? You know, I knew the road that it was on, and I remember I'd seen that place before. It was a really nice place. And she said, no, I forget how exactly she worded it. She definitely blamed it on the client, not on herself. Didn't take any responsibility, but basically something to the effect of, I lost the listing. And again, this was within like a week or two. And I kind of looked at her. I'm like, well, what happened? She said, well, it took a second once we signed the listing documents for me to upload the listing. And I guess they got a little frustrated because they thought it was going to be up over the weekend and I didn't get it up till Monday. And then they're a little bit mad about that and a couple other things that happened that I took a little bit more time on. And I don't know, they just got frustrated with me and said they wanted to list with someone else. And that always stuck out to me. Whenever I talk about time management, I always think of Bonnie wasting her whole day away trying to do a task that probably should have taken her 30 minutes and it probably took her a day and a half. So don't be like Bonnie. So the next subject we're going to talk about is bringing value. Okay, so the poor agent belief about bringing value is, if you're going to help someone, you need to be paid for it. And I'm just going to tell you, the rich agent mindset is bring massive value first and you'll get paid later. Okay, so here's a couple things that I've heard from poor agents before in the past, these things that they've said that I've kind of put in the back of my mind. And I'll be honest, when I was a young agent, I believed them. Okay, so one of those things is make sure your buyer is pre-approved and they sign a buyer agency agreement so that they can only work with you before doing any showings. Okay. So the second quote, I don't help renters because the commissions aren't big enough. That's one that's very common. And the next one, if they want my advice but have used another agent or will be using another agent, then I'm not going to help them or answer any questions. Okay, so the rich agent mindset is bring value first, get paid later. Okay, rich agents believe in developing a relationship with people and focus on what they can do for them, not what they can't do for them. The rich agents understand they will get paid in the end. Okay, so to talk about the poor agent beliefs that I stated just a second ago, make sure your buyer is pre-approved and they sign a buyer agency agreement so that they can only work with you before doing showings. This is a very common one. This is something that was beat into my head when I was a beginning agent and just starting out. They always told me, you need to make sure they're pre-approved. You need to make sure that they sign a buyer agency agreement. I'll explain both of those real quick, just in case you don't understand. Pre-approval means that they've already spoken to a bank. The bank has reviewed their debt to income ratio, kind of checked to make sure that this person's making enough money, their credit's good enough that they can get approved for a loan. Okay, that's a pre-approval. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will get fully approved. It's just kind of the beginning of the process where the bank checks them out and says, yeah, you probably will. Obviously, we're going to have to send more documents in, but you're probably going to get approved. And they usually tell them for how much. Okay, and then what a buyer agency agreement is, a buyer agency agreement means that when you're showing someone houses, It's an agreement between you and them that you're their only agent and that they won't look at homes with anybody besides you. So the rich agent mindset is bring value first, get paid later. So in this case, the rich agents won't be so unwilling to do showings for buyers if they're not pre-approved. And what I mean by this is the first couple showings, one or two, rich agents will allow the buyer show them homes, at, you know, one or two homes, you know, three at max, before they say, hey, look, you know, you need to talk to a lender. It's not fair to a buyer that doesn't understand the whole process yet, because you probably haven't sat down with them to talk about the whole process yet. It's not fair to them to say, hey, I'm not going to show you homes unless you get this done, because you haven't done anything for them yet. Okay, so the rich agent understands that. You need to bring value to them. Okay, so if you take them to see a home or two homes, you know, within a showing time frame, you know, take them to a couple houses, and then at the end of that say, all right, you know, here's something you need to do. You need to go get pre-approved by a bank. So then you know, A, what you can get approved for, the amount, and also make sure that you're okay with the payment that you're going to be paying monthly. Rich agents understand that you're the guide for this person to get them through this whole home buying journey. You'll realize that even some people that have bought and sold multiple homes before forget the process of buying another home. It could be their second, third, or fourth home that they're buying, and they forget, oh yeah, I need to have a pre-approval from a bank. So don't act like a stickler that, oh, are you pre-approved before you show them homes? I see these memes all the time, and people act like this is some huge ordeal that the person's not pre-approved. It's not. You know, as long as this person's not taking you on 10 different showings, which you shouldn't be doing that anyway with one single buyer, as long as they're not wasting a huge amount of time, taking them to a couple homes and then explaining to them the process of, hey, you need to get a pre-approval before we can even make an offer. So I don't want to waste your time with you not being pre-approved, because if you love this home and you wanted to make an offer today, you still have to talk to a bank and they have to pre-approve you, which can take 24 to 48 hours. You know, so you need to be the guide for them, and you can't act like they should already know something that you need to explain to them. Okay, and then the second part of that, the buyer agency agreement, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I've never pushed this on buyers, and I've never had a buyer burn me that I didn't want in the first place. Okay, so a buyer agency agreement means that they sign a document that says, if we're looking at a house or we're looking at houses, we will only buy with you, right? It's almost like the listing agreement that you get when you sell a house for someone, like, hey, I'm listing your home for you, but it's for helping them buy. I've never felt the need to have my client sign this. And the more top producing agents I'm around, I don't see them pushing this either. It almost, especially for first time home buyers, it feels a little pushy to them, because they're hoping that you have their needs and their wants and in mind. And if you start pushing documentation saying, you know, I'm basically in this for the money and that's it, then it shows them like, oh, this guy doesn't actually care what we want. He just wants to get us under contract. And that's not what you want to be. You don't want to be that to people. You want to bring value to them. You want to say, hey, I'm here to help you no matter what. Even if that means that maybe a deal doesn't go through, I'm here to help you. And by having them sign that buyer agency agreement, it kind of just gives off the vibe that I'm not here just for you. I'm here just for the money. And that's not what you're here for. You're here to bring them value. You're here to be their guide. So I think in my mind and in many of the top producers' mind, the buyer agency agreement, a little bit off-putting. Okay, so the next belief in this whole bringing value subject, poor agent will say, I don't help renters because the commissions aren't big enough. Okay, so in part, I do agree with a part of this, which is I'm not going to take a rental lead and be showing them houses all day for houses that, you know, the rental commission is only going to be like $100. Okay. I might show them one or two just to kind of help them out. But for the most part, if they're rental leads that aren't going to amount to money that makes any sense for me driving anywhere with them, what I'll do is I'll say, yeah, sure, man, I'll help you. And I'll explain to them that usually the listing agent wants to deal with the person on this rental. So what I'll do is I'll set up their search. I'll do an auto search for them, and then I'll send them a whole email and say, hey, look, I just set you up on a search. If you see any homes that you really like and you want to get a showing, the way that we'll do this is I'll just give you the listing agent's phone number and you can set up a showing with them. You know, with rentals, especially in markets where there's not much rental commission, not big cities. Big cities, you can actually make a salary off, or not salary, but you can actually make a decent amount of commission off of being the renter's agent. You can get a lot of rental leads in big cities like New York. You'll get commissions off of those, but in most regular towns, the rental commission is only going to be like $50 to $250. So it doesn't make sense for you to run around with them. So just explain to them, hey, look, I wouldn't mention the money part, but I just say, hey, the listing agent for the rentals likes to deal with the renters straight up. They don't really like having another agent in between them. So what I'll do is I'll put you in contact with them and I'll have your search set up for you. And if you have any questions or anything, I'm more than happy to help you. I just don't want to step on anybody's toes. So I'll just put you directly in contact with that agent. So what the poor agent would probably say to that is, why would you even help them in the first place? Why would you even waste your time? My answer to that is renters, especially renters of homes, eventually become buyers of homes. So it's someone good to have in your database, because now you know when they just started renting. Okay, so say they just start renting in March. Well, you know that they probably signed a 12-month lease, right? Because that's generally what they're going to be signing. So what I would do is I'd set a follow-up, right? I'd set a follow-up, you know, 8-9 months from now, where you start sending them emails, maybe text them, hey, this is Trent, you know, I was the realtor that helped you find that rental, just wanted to check in on you, see if you guys are staying put, or maybe if you guys are looking for somewhere else, and then just kind of build it off that. You know, so sometimes they'll say, oh no, we're going to renew our lease, we're going to stay another year or whatever, and then set up another follow-up. I couldn't tell you how many people I've put on auto drip, especially for renters, or maybe people that were looking for a second, then they're like, oh no, we're just gonna rent, but they stay looking at my auto drip of homes that are coming to their email, that years later, I have a guy that just called me a week ago from 4 or 5 years ago, right when I first got into the business. I met this guy, I put him on an auto drip, and he's been watching these emails, and all of a sudden called me and said, hey, I found this house, I really love it, I wanna buy it. And all it was literally an auto drip. I set up, probably took me 15 minutes, set it up for him, and has been auto dripping them for like 4 or 5 years. So every contact can be something, right? And the other thing is too, if you treat people really well, they might be renting, but maybe her sister's looking to buy, right? And her sister, or you know, he or she's sister or brother or whatever is looking to buy, they might refer you to someone else, especially if you take care of them. They'll say, you know, oh, I got this one realtor still sends me emails every week. You should talk to him, and you'll get a referral from it. So, you know, even if they are renting, or even if you don't see money in the near future, you got to treat everybody with respect and bring value to them. You can't just say, oh, I don't mess with rentals or whatever. You just don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, so the third part to this is the poor agent belief that if they want my advice but have used another agent, or they will be using another agent, then I'm not going to help them or answer any questions. So again, the rich agent mindset of this is bring massive value first, get paid later. So if you have somebody approach you that has a question, even if they have an agent that might be their brother or their sister or someone that you know that they've used over and over and over again, stuff always happens. So the rich agent mindset to this is, you know, just get in front of people, and it, no matter what, when you bring people value, you're also bringing value to yourself, because when they recognize that you're an expert, it makes you feel good too. So always help people, and don't get discouraged when you say, well, you know, they have an agent, so I'm not going to help them. Don't be like that. That's a poor agent belief. You know, and I heard it a bunch when I was early on in my career where they say, oh, well, ask them if they have an agent already, or, and if they do, then don't help them unless they say they're going to use you. I used to hear that all the time. And what I realized was, if you're in this business for a long period of time, and they're going to be around for a long period of time, for example, if I'm going to be in this city for 10 plus years, and they're going to be in this city for 10 plus years, maybe the next time they go to sell, maybe by that time, the agent that they've used before, their brother, their sister, their cousin, their friend, their family member, whatever it is, maybe they retire, maybe they move, maybe they have, you know, a bad falling out, and they'll remember you because you bring that value. You brought that value to them. You didn't shun them away because they've used somebody else. The longer you're in this business, the more you'll find out that, and you'll hear it from agents that have been in the business for a long time, that their family members end up not using them. You know, again, talking about memes, you'll see it all the time where, oh, my cousin bought a house and they didn't use me. You know, you'll see it on, you know, Facebook, on like the real estate groups and stuff like that. Well, my brother didn't use me and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it happens all the time. So, you know, the biggest thing for somebody, especially when they're selling their house, is they want to make sure that the person that's selling their house is going to get them the most amount of money. They're going to take care of them and they're going to get the job done. And, you know, if they see their brother or sister and their, you know, or cousin, whoever, you know, if they see that person over and over again, just acting like a part-time agent, you know, always bitching about their work that they're doing, they might say, you know what, dude, I'm not going to use them this time. I'm going to use that guy that I met or that girl that I met that provided all this value to me, the one that's been answering all my questions, the one that looks like they're working their butt off every day. I'm going to use that person because this is a big investment for me and I don't want to lose money. And that's, it's a common thing. It's a common thing that people don't use, you know, the agents that are around them because they know how that person is. And sometimes, yeah, even with somebody that has a family member that's an agent, they don't want that person to know their business. So they might use another agent because they don't want their brother-in-law or their sister-in-law or, you know, the brother, sister, whoever, they don't want them in their business of how much they own on the house or, you know, anything like that. So always provide value. You never know when it'll come back. And again, talking about referrals, you know, they might be stuck with an agent that they have to use because of some relationship, but they might refer their friend or somebody else to you because they know you're actually better and they know that their friend isn't, you know, stuck to the agent that they have to use. So rich agents believe that you need to develop relationships with people and focus on what you can do for them, not what you can't do for them. Just to kind of connect this to the last podcast too, this really goes back to social media, posting information, answering questions, and just helping. Whenever I move somewhere, I usually have like a favorite gas station. Maybe you do too, but you know, I have a favorite gas station usually based off of not like cheapest prices of gas. It's usually based off of people that I like. If I like the person that works in there, a gas station attendant, I think I mentioned in the last podcast too that, well, I got a client out of a gas station. He owned the gas station. I love that gas. Him and his son always worked in there. I love those people. And they were always so nice to me. But, you know, there was probably four or five different gas stations around there. I never checked the gas prices because I knew which gas station I was going to go to. Honestly, even if I would have seen it was 10 or 15 cents more at the one that I liked, I would have still gone to the one that I liked because I like seeing them every single day, right? And they're helpful and they're nice and they clean their gas station real well. They're just nice people. And if you could take that mentality into your business of, you know what, I'm just going to be the helpful person. I'm not going to be a little pissant because they used somebody else last time they went to buy or sell. You know, it could turn out that way for you too. So overall, bringing value, again, to go over this, poor agent belief, which is false, is if you're going to help, make sure you get paid for it. That's the poor agent belief. That's why they're not getting paid, is because they're not helping anybody, right? The rich agent mindset is bring massive value first, and you will eventually get paid later. Just to kind of talk about helping people, and those auto drips, just kind of talk about that again. Those auto drip emails, I swear to God, are huge in being in front of people over and over again, not just for the renters, but whenever I sell a house to somebody, obviously their auto drip's been turned off since we went under contract, right? So if they're looking for a house in said area, as soon as we go under contract, I turn their auto drip off. Not just because I don't want their eyes wandering. Honestly, I've had them come back to me and say, hey, will you turn mine off? Because, you know, my wife or my husband keeps looking at these other houses and, you know, we don't want to be debating if we made the right decision. So when I go under contract or when they go under contract, I turn off their auto drip for them. But as soon as that deal closes and they move into, say, for example, Forest Ridge is the neighborhood they just moved into, right? So once they move into Forest Ridge and they're all set up and everything, I'll set them up on another auto drip of their neighborhood. And what I do is I put the auto drip as active for sale, solds, and pendings, okay? So that every single time something goes active and whenever it goes pending and whenever it sells, they see all that. And not only do they see that, they also see my branding on the auto email. So you know, usually on your auto emails, they'll have like a header where it'll have like your logo or your photo or whatever. And every single week when they're getting these, or every single day if their market's that active in their neighborhood, they're going to be getting emails, and they check them because you know it's something that they own. They want to know how much their house is worth. Like they want to know that. So they're going to be checking that. They're going to say, oh, are prices going up? Are they going down? You know, oh, I think that's Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house over there. Let's look at the pictures. I want to see what the inside of their house looks like. You know, and they'll be on it all the time. And sometimes, like my MLS, we have the matrix. You can see who's been checking your neighborhood searches that you have set up for them. And I can see a lot of my top people are people that aren't even actively looking to buy a home. It's somebody that's bought and is just watching the neighbor's houses, what they sell for. So this is a huge thing with marketing and you know, brand awareness for yourself, that you put these people on auto drip campaigns of their neighborhoods, and they'll be watching your emails all the time. Every time your email pops up, they're going to be opening it. So overall, I hope you guys got some good information out of this. Like I said, rich agent, poor agent, you need to have a schedule, time block, tasks. Make sure you stay on task. Knock those things out that you need to knock out. Knock out the hard things first. I don't know if I said that earlier, but that's definitely a key to all that. And overall, just bring tons of value to all people. Don't discriminate just based off the fact that maybe they're going to use somebody else or they have used somebody else. Make sure you just always bring value to people. I appreciate you guys listening to my podcast this week. If you want to get a hold of me, feel free to email me at TrentBrands@USA.com. That's Trent, TrentBrands at USA.com. Until next time, I hope you guys keep killing it. Be a part of that top 20%, the rich agents, and I'll see you on the next episode.